Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
Thank you again for joining us for our sermon series entitled Lion Chasers, How to Survive and Thrive When Opportunity Roars. Now, we're over halfway done with our sermon series right now, and if you would like to listen to any of the previous ones, yes, I'll actually get them up on the podcast page today. So if you wait till after 5 o'clock, they should be up. But if you haven't caught them up so far, don't worry. Each of the sermons are sort of self-contained, so you don't need to know the whole gist before we get going. Because, like today, I'm going to talk to you again what Bible story started us off with this, which was about Ben. He was a soldier in King David's army when one day he was just simply walking in downtown Baldwin when a lion showed up. And he had to fight the lion. And I know one thing for sure, that Ben didn't wake up that morning of the lion encounter and plan out every detail. It wasn't scheduled in his Outlook calendar or his Google calendar. It wasn't on his to-do list. The lion encounter was as unplanned as a toothache. Now, it is easy to do some Monday morning quarterbacking with the story in that Ben knew that he was going to beat the lion. Case closed. However, the true story is Ben didn't know if he was going to be part of the highlight reel of the Bible or one of those tragic lessons that we read about. If we put ourselves in Ben's sandals, we would probably have experienced a high level of emotional uncertainty. Killing the lion was not a foregone conclusion. For one thing, fighting humans is one thing. They could be predictable. But wild animals are just that. They're wild. They're random. We haven't even thought about some of the other thousands of other variables that would influence this climactic battle. Did Ben eat his Wheaties? Was the snow falling softly? How was the footing? What time of day was it? And my favorite, did Ben get his recommended 8 hours of sleep? Because I never do. These are just a fraction of the questions that would affect the outcome of this big fight. And I don't know about you, but it sounds more like a coin flip for a decision. It's not a certain statistical probability. Now, I'm sure Ben had a sense of destiny, but that sense of destiny was coupled with a degree of uncertainty. Ben didn't know if he would win or lose, live or die. But he knew God was with him in the face of this uncertainty. And he was willing. Now let me rephrase that. He was expecting and excited to face the twists and turns of life that God had in store for him. And here's one of the biggest mistakes that we make in our relationship with God. We focus on our energies on telling God exactly what to do, how to do it, and when to do it. In fact, because we think God is hard of hearing, we repeat ourselves time and time again to make sure God got it right and that God didn't miss any important details. And if you're taking notes here, this is the answer to your first question on your note sheet. But what if, instead of spending all our energy making plans for God, we spend that energy seeking God? Instead of spending all our energy making plans for God, we spend that energy on seeking God. Now, this is what the disciples did on the eve of Pentecost. They fasted and prayed for 10 days, and then Pentecost happened. And just a reminder what Pentecost is, it's the day the Holy Spirit descended on the disciples, who were able to tell a ton of people in their own language the good news of Jesus Christ. It's also the beginning of the Christian church. Now, believe it or not, the disciples didn't plan that day. They didn't have their Tongue of Holy Spirit t-shirts on. Peter, believe it or not, didn't have a prepared 3-point sermon set to go. The people who got baptized didn't pack a change of clothes. In their eyes, the day was totally unplanned. However, I think we can all agree God couldn't have scripted a better day. There were all these people from all over the known world in Jerusalem for the festival of Pentecost. And all of these people heard the gospel in their own language. And then 3,000 of them got baptized and then were sent back to their homes as impromptu missionaries. What a plan. What a God plan. Notice I didn't say human plan because the disciples didn't know a thing about what was going to happen. Now, I know it's summer, but I am going to talk a little science right now. What I'm going to talk about really briefly is the Heisenberg uncertainty principle. I can see your eyes glazing over right now. But bear with me, it's not too long. So at one point in scientific thought, we thought that everything was measurable and predictable. However, Heisenberg sort of pulled the rug out of the scientific community at the time. What he found at the quantum level of particles, which is one of the smallest scales of how we look at things, that the particles sometimes acted like a particle, which means we knew where they were at, but sometimes these particles would act like waves, which meant they could appear to be in several places at the same time. The bottom line, what Heisenberg discovered, was that there is always a level of uncertainty. And this could be hard for us to take as people of faith because we feel our faith is about reducing our uncertainty. But in fact, this is the answer to your second question on your worship sheet. Faith is embracing uncertainty. Faith is about embracing uncertainty. Now, if we're honest with ourselves, we'll never have all the answers. Believe it or not, I don't have a book in my office that tells me everything about life and all the different Bible verses. And the hard part is some people can never come to terms with this truth. They feel something is wrong with them because they can't wrap their minds around God. But maybe faith has less to do with gaining knowledge and more to do with causing wonder. Maybe a relationship with God doesn't simplify our lives. Maybe it complicates our lives in ways that should be complicated. Now, when I thought about that, I thought that was a little counterintuitive until I started coming up with different examples about different things that are good complications to our lives. Well, you'll have to be the decision on that. So, talking about complications, is anybody married? All right. Talking about complications, does anybody have kids? And I can tell you, pastoring this wonderful church can be complicated at times. Believe it or not, I know. And wealth will complicate your taxes, and success will complicate your time. But all of these things, even the kids, will enrich our lives by this complication. And at the end of the day, embracing uncertainty comes back to our perspective on life. Do we really believe that God is ordering every footstep, even when it feels like we're taking a misstep? Do we really believe that God is king of the universe when nothing seems to be going our way? And do we really believe that God is good even when bad things happen to us? In his book, Learned Optimism, Dr. Martin Seligman says all of us have what he calls an exploratory style to account for life's experiences. In short, it is what we tell ourselves about what happens to us. Now, for example, let us say you're going to meet somebody for a date and they don't show up. There's a lot of different ways to look at the situation. Do you get angry because they stood you up? Are you relieved so you have a reason to dump them? Are you scared, thinking maybe they got in an accident? You see what I mean? The same situation, but very different explanations. Now, while we can't control our experiences, we can control our explanations. In the words of Dr. Seligman, your way of explaining events to yourself determines how helpless you are or how energized you are when you encounter everyday setbacks as well as monumentous defeats. So let's take a look at the story in the Bible that highlights this self-explanation. So this is our first lesson. So if you have your Bibles out, I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 50. Again, this is our first lesson. It's located on page 42 of your Bibles. Or if you have your Bible apps, I'm going to have you go to Genesis chapter 50, verse 19. Again, that's found on page 42 of your Bibles. And as you're getting there, I'll again tell you really briefly what's going on with Joseph. You see, his own brother sold Joseph into slavery at an early age. His master threw him into jail for 13 years after being wrongly accused of trying to seduce his master's wife. And Joseph could have easily have told God to go jump. Joseph could have blamed God for everything. Instead, he continued to have faith. After 13 years, he went from being a prisoner to the prime minister after helping Pharaoh out. And at this point in the story, Joseph's brothers have come to realize who he is, and they are worried that he's going to punish them for all that they did to him. So let's take a look at verse 19. But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. Am I in a place of God? Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good. God did this in order to preserve a numerous people, as he is doing today. So have no fear. I myself will provide for you and your little ones. In this way, he reassured them, speaking kindly to them. These verses summarizes Joseph's outlook on life and reveals his explanatory style. Joseph was able to see the purposes of God in his past experience. Genesis 50 is the lens through which each of us must view our past, present, and future. Everyone's path is littered with debris of dysfunction and disappointment. We all have been misjudged or misled, and we will be many more times before our lives are done. But God is in the business of using these experiences to prepare us for future opportunities. And here's the answer to your third and final question. Following Christ reduces spiritual uncertainty, but doesn't reduce physical uncertainty. Following Christ reduces spiritual uncertainty, but doesn't reduce physical uncertainty. The greatest hazard to our spiritual health is thinking our past is haphazard and that our future is left up to chance alone. But it is anything but that. Now, I can't promise you that everything will make sense this side of heaven, but that shouldn't shake our confidence, because our confidence is not contingent upon our circumstance. Our confidence is contingent upon the character of God. Our circumstances may not make sense, but we know that God is planning God's work and working on God's plan. So this week, I want you to think about, where do you feel some uncertainty in your life? Because I know we all do. And how do you explain that uncertainty to yourself? Then ask, what might be a more helpful explanation? Because when we start looking at how we frame our world and how we explain stuff to ourselves, we begin to see God's hands more fully in our lives. And I don't know about you, but I find a lot of comfort in that. Knowing that the Lord of the universe has plans for me, even when things aren't going my way, is very comforting. And I know that God has plans for you as well. Remember that. Live that. See the fingerprints that God is leaving on your life and on my life. Live and breathe into that daily, and you will begin to notice a change in how you live your life. Amen.